Let's go back to our Bibles, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 10. Read from verse 1 to 11. Thus says the Lord. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, and laid incense on it, and offered an authorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said: among those who are near me I will be sanctified, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Azaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp." So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar his sons, "Do not let the hair of your heads hang loose, and do not tear your clothes lest you die and wrath come upon all the congregation. But let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that the Lord has kindled. And do not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Drink no wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You are to distinguish between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean, and you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them by Moses." Oh God, our Father, you are holy. You are indeed holy. And we are sinful. Accept us in your presence this morning. Allow this word to have a place in our hearts. Use me to teach it to us. Amen. As I was preparing this message, something that I was sharing with some brethren a few days ago came into my mind. I asked them a question. I see seminaries and Bible colleges all over the world. Some churches have got also good programs, like we have here leadership training classes that are doing very good jobs to prepare men for the work of God. People to be good preachers of the word. They teach them the A's to Z's of how to prepare a good sermon. How to be a good church leader, church administrator. Someone might come using those keys and stand here and deliver a very perfect sermon. My question to them was, where is that school for holiness? I've never seen it. Where is it that train people to be holy before God? Where is it?
Many people stand on pulpits in this world and preach like Jesus, then go back and live like Lucifer. They follow all the steps of homiletics. Does God need that? You should give yourself an answer. I'm not saying it's not okay, so we should stop, because otherwise I will not be going to arts where I go to my seminars. But the truth remains that you might be a very good expositor and there to live your life like Lucifer. What we have before us in chapter 10, such a sad story. Personally, I've learned lessons that I'd never learned ever since I came to Christ in 86 in this book of Leviticus. I knew God is serious. We sing. But this book has really taken me a step ahead. Is this real? How God deals with me? From the beginning of this book, we've come seeing that he is the one who wants a close relationship with his people. It's not you, because you've never and you'll never look for him. Came from his heavens above, closer to a mountain. That was not enough to him. From the mountain, close again into the tabernacle. That was not enough to him. He was still separated by a veil from his people that he loves. He wanted to leave that tabernacle, go and mingle with them. Gezako baba, gezako kagunda ako, kaspida ako. And he has been preparing this by putting in place the sacrifices, five of them. Putting in place priesthood. And you know how serious he was when he was putting in place this priesthood. Aaron and his four sons had to be within the premises of the tabernacle for 7 full days. Going through purifications and training, giving them the do's and don'ts that they give you at the seminars and these programs where they train you. You don't need to do it this way. They do it that way. After the 7 days of being prepared to stand before the Holy God, they have to give their very first sacrifice. Even with that, they need again to purify themselves more. At the end of chapter 9, they gave it. And I told you the last time when I was teaching chapter 9, what you need so that you can stand before the Holy God, burning fire, and you don't die. Because you can't. I told you and I showed you the other time how everyone in the Bible who came across God and after discovering that, I'm going to die. That's it. Because you just can't stand before God and you remain alive. But the children of Israel, God came from where he was into the camp.
into the congregation. He showed them his glory. None died because of three things that we went through. One, for you to stand before the Holy God and you don't die, you need a perfect high priest. Aaron failed in that. Number two, you need a perfect sacrifice, not any sacrifice. The sacrifices of Aaron and his children failed. Number three, to prove that your sacrifice is perfect, it has to be accepted by the living God. All these three, Jesus Christ fulfilled them for you. Now, this was on the eighth day, when they, after offering their first sacrifice, the Lord accepted it. And again, he did not accept it because Aaron and his children were now perfect. They were still lacking in many ways. But God just wanted to accept it, just to point us to a true high priest whose sacrifice he would accept. And again, it is showing us the grace of God. It's too gracious. Because the book of Leviticus is all about worship. Worship is not the slow songs we sing. No. The dictionary defines it as the devotion accorded to a deity or a sacred object. So worship is also the religious ceremonies that express this devotion. If God is coming closer to his people, it's because he wants them to worship him. And what is to worship him? Is to do whatever pleases him. So now we see that worship is the devotion that you give to a God. But what is devotion? Devotion means it's a feeling or strong or fervent affection. A strong dedication that you give to someone. That's why you see many Christians in the world give their lives to Christ. I mean, to die for Christ. Because they have this strong, fervent affection of God in their hearts. Not like yours. So now, on the eighth day, after being consecrated for and ordained for seven full days, they give their first sacrifice. And what we read in verse 35, the 24 of chapter 9, is that and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and everything on the altar. Fire came and consumed everything to ashes. You could not have anything that you could hold, because God's fire is terrible. And when the children of Israel saw that, they shouted. Yes, these were shouts of joy, because they could see the glory of God. No one died. They shouted.
Ugly shouts were mixed with the fear. Oh, terrible, oh. That pushed them to fail and put their faces down. It was in the same day. We have not slept that we go into the ninth day. It is still the eighth day when they gave the offering and God accepted it, that we see what we are seeing in chapter 9. Chapter 9, I labor to show you what you need to do for you to stand before burning fire, consuming fire without dying. And today we continue, but these are not different sermons. This is the one story. I want to labor to show you what you need to do to continue serving before this consuming fire. Because after that first sacrifice, what remained was for Aaron and his priests to continue now serving daily before God. I don't know whether it was too much joy that had come into the hearts of these priests, the children of Aaron, or not. What's the answer to my question? What do you need to do so that you continue? Okay, worship and serve, these are the same things. Because whatever you do for God, it is service to Him, it is worship to Him. Even mopping this building. And to show you how serious God is, He wants you to even don't mix anything, even mopping, where people gather to worship Him. If you go deep into these words, you fornicated on Friday, Saturday, don't come and mop. That's how serious God is. And the answer is one. For you to serve the most holy God, you need to worship or serve Him only according to His commands. Only. Chapter 10, verse 1, we find this very sad story. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered an authorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Now, verses 1 to 3 are very important. Nadab and Abihu, these are the two eldest sons of Aaron, are stricken to death. On the same day, the eighth day, we have two fires, two different fires. I don't know what happened to them. Why only the two elders? Why not all the four? Yeah, Leviticus has got many unanswered questions. I cannot even answer them for you. Yeah, many people say they just liked the fame, the presence they received when God received their first sacrifice. And they just decided, the two of them, to pick their censers and put fire and incense on them. But they are going to burn it in service of the living God.
And the verse 2 says, and fire came out from before the Lord. The same words that we read when he came to consume their first sacrifice. Yes, in verse 24, chapter 9 says, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering. That's the same thing we are seeing here in verse 2. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them. They received a capital punishment. They were not punished that they would fall sick or be lame. But with death. Many scholars have speculated over the years, because the question is, what really was this strange, profane, unauthorized fire? What was it? What's wrong? Did they really do? And this is where scholars who think that they know more come with speculations. And I told you from the beginning of this book, I'll never try to speculate. Some say that these two sons had penetrated too far into the sanctuary beyond where they were supposed to stop. Others say they had gone to burn incense while drunk. Others say they had offered unauthorized calls from outside the temple area. Others still say that they had offered incense that did not contain the proper ingredients. And others say that they had offered incense at the wrong time of the day. Okay, some of these might be right, but I don't see none of these speculations in Scripture. But Scripture sheds enough light for us, which is enough for us. When it says that this strange or unauthorized fire was the fire which the Lord had not commanded them. If this was a Bible study meeting, we would try to go deep and try to analyze what exactly was happening. But the Bible says here that they took censer and put fire on it and offered an authorized fire before the Lord. And then the Bible explains those words which he had not commanded them. You see that with the worship of God, all over Scripture, he is the one who determines how he wants to be worshipped. Not men. From A to Z, 100% God determines how he wants to be worshipped. The two sons, the two first priests, are sleeping dead before the congregation. Remember I told you Aaron represents Christ, the high priest? And these four children of Aaron represent you, who are born again Christians, you are the priest of Christ. What have you just done? You were ordained just yesterday. And today you are being burnt dead? In verses 4 and 5, Moses calls Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Uzziel, the anchor of Aaron and Moses. Because God, what they did might be very small in our sight, but it was very big to him.
And he says, I don't want them dead alone. I even don't want their corpses before me. Come over here. Take the bodies of your brethren from before the sanctuary and even from outside the camp, far from God, in the upper darkness, utter darkness, sorry. And we read that they came and lifted them through their coats. Yeah, the coats, as you know, you see Roman Catholic priests, before they go to do anything, they put those coats, something like that, just an illustration for you to have a picture. So that they carry them through their coats. Aaron could not, his two surviving children could not, because they, remember, they are priests. They were not authorized or supposed to touch on corpses. Other people had to come, relatives, take this, far from God. What's amazing here is that the same fire came from before the Lord, came and consumed whatever they had put on top of the altar in chapter 9. And everything was consumed thoroughly to ashes. But check here, the same fire came down, but people are still, you can see them, the bodies are here, and even no air from their head was burnt. Their clothes are still the way they were, because they used them to lift them out of the car. After that, because what happened was a huge shock to Aaron. He had only four sons. They were still young. He could be complaining. But God, these are still young and inexperienced. It's only today that we offer our very first offering. They still needed time to learn. I hear many Christians also bring those reasons these days. I'm sinning too much because I'm still a young Christian. Yeah, Pastor Billy, you got saved in 1986. Count all these years. But me, it was only last year. That thing does not exist before God. This, you say you got saved only last year. This, it was only today, on the eighth day, that they offered, and today again they do something wrong against God and they are killed. He stands there, the Bible tells us, and Aaron held his peace. And what else do you expose or want him to do? To contend with God? And Moses tells Aaron, don't make a mistake of trying to mourn your two sons. Yeah, you find there in those other verses, verse 6 and 7, instructions to Aaron and his two surviving sons never to try to mourn Nadab and Abihu. Yeah, there are rites, cultural things that they need to do when you are mourning someone. They are written down there. And Moses says, don't do any of them. Listen to the reason. Lest you die. God speaks the language of death. Can you believe you've just lost your two sons that you loved? And you are not allowed to mourn them. You are wanted to stand and hold your peace. You need to do things only according to how God wants them done. You bring in something small like a drop of water, you're in trouble with God. Number two, you must also distinguish the holy from the common, between the unclean and the clean. This I'm telling you, if you do this, you'll continue serving in the presence of God without any problem with Him. Do things the way He wants them done. Only. And then two, try to distinguish between things. In verse 9, the Lord Himself comes down. I mean, He's there, but He brings His voice up and talk to Aaron, the high priest. And what amazes me here is this: Aaron is still having things to blame. In chapter 9, I showed you how he cannot even at all be equated to our high priest Jesus Christ. And it's in this chapter, verse 8, where those who think that these two sons that entered drunk, where they get it from. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Drink no wine or strong drink, you and your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die." Yes, that's why many think that they might have entered there drunk. And then God is coming to say, "Aaron, have you seen? Don't do something like this again." Here it's more about the priest, the high priest, not so much. But again, I saw the grace of the same God in this chapter. Do you think this Aaron, the high priest, and his two sons who remained because for them they were okay? No! God just decided to show the peace of them a lesson through these two. The so-called high priest is still doing things the way they are not supposed to be done, even after his sons have been stricken dead. From verse 16 to the end, what happens? The so-called high priest, Moses, diligently went and inquired about the goat of the sin offering. He inquired among other people around. You know what he discovered? That his sons, the remaining ones, Ithamar and Eleazar, had killed that goat for the sin offering. And according to the instructions, you don't need to burn it all. The priests have also to eat the flesh of that sin offering, so that the sins of the people could be atoned for. But after inquiring, Moses discovered that these two remaining went and put the whole animal on the altar and burnt it all. That's an infraction. And why are they still alive? He told Moses, I'll show mercy to whom I want to show mercy. And Moses got furious. This is the high priest of those Israelites. Why did you do this? And you find in verse 19, he starts pleading for himself. And Aaron said to Moses, behold, today they have offered their sins, blah, blah, blah. Gives him in many words. But if it was not correct, God would not have approved it, but they did it, and God is silent. And then Moses said, it's okay, it's okay. Who was wrong, Moses or Aaron? Moses did his thorough investigation. But even Aaron, the so-called high priest, and his two so-called priests are still breathing here at this level because of grace. Yahweh himself brings more instructions to Aaron against drinking wine or strong drink whenever he and his priests would go into the tabernacle. And he sings his song again, lest you die. And why? He gives the reasons in verse 10. That is, you need and you must distinguish between the holy and the common. Between the unclean and the unclean. And when you come back today, the priest of today, you do not know any difference. You don't want to differentiate anything. And yet you must, it's a must. If you want to continue serving this holy God, you must know the difference between the profane and the holy, between the common and the uncommon, between the secular and the sacred, between the ordinary and the extraordinary. Okay, I know your song. And I feel sad whenever I hear you Christians sing this song. Which is true. Christ died for us and he paid for all our sins, past, present, and future. So that means you live the way you want, right? That's a reality. As you labor to be trained to serve God in whichever capacity, you labor to be a good exegete of God's word. Where do they train you to be holy? We know the leaders of your schools and programs. But the school of holiness is Scripture. The principle of this school is God Himself. I don't say that you should be. They normally start words into our mouth. Pastor Bill said, training to be a good preacher or whatever is good. Did I say so? But it concerns me seriously that we stand here to preach perfect sermons and we don't care at all about how we live our lives. It concerns me. Because this other thing, because you know, school of preaching well and school of living well for Christ, the two schools.
This one, even a pagan and Muslims go to our seminaries, they learn them, come here and preach perfect sermons. So if you want to keep yourself in this compartment, I'll not be glad with you. Because every single Sunday, Bill Issa brings profane fire on this pulpit. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. No one should deceive you. There's no good preacher. He has never been born and he will never be born. We come here with our filthiness. You can speak 90 words well. 10 are not okay with God. But we still end, we say amen, and I pick my Bibles, go and sit on my seat without dying. Because of Christ. As I was preparing this sermon, I said, Lord, I bring profane and authorized fire every Sunday on the pulpit of our lives. Had you never appreciated Christ? Because I preach more in this church, I would have died before all of you. But my Christ. That's why allow me to be telling you only about Christ. Leave your homiletics. Sometimes leave them for me. Allow me to tell you about my Christ. Allow me to tell you about it. I don't say you throw. No, because again, it's not good again to preach like, I mean, to live like Christ, Jesus and preach like Lucifer. No. I want us to preach like Jesus and live like Jesus. So you should be disturbing God to help you be like that. Some denominations of Christianity are busy seeking for holiness through fasting for 1 month, I don't know how many times in a year. They don't mind doctrine. On the other side, others are very serious with doctrine. They want to be good exegetes of the word. And they understand how to preach at the tips of their fingers. All the biblical doctrines, they know that they are definitions, even a young child. But where is the holiness? You don't see it. Where is it? Why don't you tremble when you sin before God? Yeah, because you know too much scripture, you know a lot of doctrine, so you've got acquainted with this burning fire. He's your friend. Hi, my buddy. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, he's a good friend. That's very true. I'm not saying it's not true. But my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this God wants to be come closer to you. Even now where you are, even you who are born again Christians, God says he still wants a close relationship with you because your relationship with him is not enough before him yet. How can you go and watch pornography and tomorrow you repent, next week it comes back, you repent, and next month and next year you are counting 5 years, you don't tremble? If Jesus did not come, who would be alive? The children of Israel are standing there. The first fire that came from before the Lord was for their good. It accepted the sacrifice for them. And they shouted with joy. But with awe again. Now ask yourself, How did they feel with this second fire? And God says, I have no problem with the congregation to mourn their brethren. Let them mourn them. How feared were they? Because of this sermon, I was the whole of yesterday singing this hymn. It's a song. I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Lord, I want to love like Jesus in my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to love like Jesus. If he came and checked the love that you give to your brethren here, it's a profane fire, profane love. You cannot survive. You show him teeth or her teeth here, then you go and talk about or against him with someone outside on Monday and on Friday. We always present before the Lord profane and authorized fire in many ways. In many ways. Why don't you distinguish the holy from the unholy? When we tell you about clothes, you say, RBC is also a tough church. They go even into these small details. Can RBC be as tough as God? If you see a fashion, a new model in clothing is being embraced by all the worldly people, the Muslim and the Rastafarian, why you as a Christian can't you leave it even if you like it? Not that you wearing that torn trouser or whatever is a sin. I've not said so. But there are many people whose faith is not as strong as B's or David's. When they see you wear the way the world wears, they will start talking evil against this all holy God. And that's where trouble is. I was at my daughter's school the other day. All the girls of Seventh Day, of Reformed Baptist, Reformed Presbyterian, all of them were naked, walking naked in campus. Only the girls of Muslims could. And there are few. See them? It's our own ladies and girls who say they serve because you are the priest now. You are the priest. And you serve this holy God every day naked. You serve him naked. You serve him with rumor mongering. But you don't die. When will you appreciate Christ and how? Reformed Baptist or Reformed, let me reformed in the world. You want to put sin in everything. Even just being a Reformed believer is a problem. I'm Reformed. You feel proud of that. I'm Reformed. How do you live your life? Does God need your reformation? Father, forgive us. We plead. We are sinners. I'm not safe in any way. We are all guilty before you. Because every single day we present before you profane fire. We bring to you unauthorized fire. But you still love us. And we pray you hear our prayers and answer them because of Christ, our high priest. What a lesson this is. Lord, thank you. Thank you for teaching us these things. Have mercy on us. Put us into the school of holiness of yours, O Lord, we plead.
Teach us to live like Christ. Teach us to walk like Christ. Teach us to talk like Christ. Teach us to love like Christ. Teach us to show mercy like Christ, who does not want to do anything for people to praise Him. Have mercy upon us. I would have died today even with this very sermon. But because of Christ, I'm still breathing. But Lord, that is, Christ should not be just an excuse for us to continue living the way we want and sin simply because Christ paid for our sins. You don't change. You are the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And you still require the same level of holiness. Thank you, Lord. In Christ Jesus we pray.